Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the C-Squared Podcast. Your host Curtis and my co-host Aaliyah, and we are here today with guitarist Justin Zick, who is going to be talking to us today about his various different projects he's got going. He's also part of a band called Monroe's Thunder, who we are promoting through C-Squared Music, so we'll bring that up as well. But to start off, first of all, thank you, Justin, for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You are very welcome. And I'm going to throw it over to Aaliyah to get the questions rolling and the proceedings started.
Wow, make it sound so like formal.
It is.
So very formally asking you for the beginning of this proceeding. Can you give our listeners a brief summary of who you are and what you do in the realms of metal?
Well, my name is Justin Zick, obviously. I have been playing guitar within the music scene for a very long time. I've worked with many bands. I've been a fill-in for many bands as a guitarist, as a keyboardist, as a bass player. I teach music, I record music. So I'm pretty much, you know, a la carte when it comes to any music in general. But I still have a passion for music and heavy metal. So especially heavy metal. So a lot of things end up coming back to that genre.
I have a quick question. Is there a reason why you decided to do so many different projects like you have, out of curiosity?
Well, I am a full-time musician.
I see.
And fortunately, with working with a lot of musicians, people end up taking a lot of breaks.
Yeah.
Where not possible for me. I have to continuously be doing something to maintain my musician lifestyle.
I get it.
But the other reason is like I like to be challenged. I like to try new things. I like to work with different people. I want to learn something new that's gonna is like, hey, I would really work with the group I'm really passionate about, or I would really like to work with this person.
Yep.
And understand their process, and I want to see how this person records. I'm constantly learning. I want more information. I want to get better. I want to be the best at what I do.
Do you kind of feel like that? Do you think you prefer that to being like in a full-time, like just one band? Like if you were like on a, like a high salary type thing, or do you think you'd prefer this?
Well, I would like, if I had one band that could be like, boom, here you go, we'll take care of you for the year, and I'm like, that'd be amazing. I would be totally fine with it.
Cool.
And then I think after maybe a couple of years, I'd probably be doing something in my free time.
Yeah.
As well, because that one band isn't going to really get me, you know, help my creative juices going. Say if some band's a power metal band, I'm not going to be able to play any cool blues or jazz licks. You know, yeah. I'm going to do the side there just to kind of feed that part of my creativity.
Yeah, I kind of wondered, because when you said that, I was like, well, would he get bored just playing in one band now, or how would that work? But that makes sense. That makes total sense.
I'm so fascinated. I've been studying, I have a bachelor's degree in music, and then I'm so excited about composition that I'm constantly listening to film scores. I'm constantly buying musical scores. I want to know why this particular string section sounds like this, and I want to see how it's written. I want to know how to do that. You know, it's like I'm so passionate about that. So I'm constantly doing that kind of stuff. But in general, it always comes down to I love playing guitar, and I like to shred, and I like to play heavy metal. So that's just where it all kind of got me into where I'm at right now. It's still where my biggest passion is.
Cool. Aaliyah, I'll let you resume since I interrupted you.
Thank you. So you are in like quite a few projects, and you like the variety. You mentioned that you like the variety of the music because you don't want to be stuck with writing just one genre. Can you maybe go through the projects and like what kind of genre would you assign to each one?
Well, wow, that's pretty tough. So we can go from
you can stick with current projects.
Yeah. So Monroe's Thunder, you know, that's the one that was like a straight heavy metal. Working with Ronnie was awesome, just having that kind of range of melodies and vocals. It's fun to work with someone that has this kind of old school sound. And the other guitar player, David Mark Pierce, who's the musical director, I would throw him riffs all the time and he would take those riffs and transform them into that. So it's interesting to kind of see how he can take something complex and really just make it where Ronnie can sing over it more naturally without doing too much. So that, you know, and it's fun to do that because then I get to kind of go back into some of those old, you know, those 80s style of pentatonic thrashy things, as well as throwing in some fun weird stuff in there and seeing what they would let me get away with. But so there's that, I would never say that. And then there's my own solo project, Zik, which is just, it'd be the progressive. It would be everywhere from big, like, Queen-style vocals to classical guitar, but ends up coming back to heavy metal. That one, Zephaniah, would be power thrash metal. It was all about speed and doing crazy guitar antics. And then from there, past band's been mostly thrash metal. I've done some death metal bands. I've worked with other power metal bands. I've just anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So overall, like power metal, thrash metal, and some classic heavy metal. About Monroe's Thunder, how did you get connected with Ronnie and how did that project find its origins?
Well, when they started, they were looking. I had a buddy in New York that's like, hey, this Ronnie is looking for a guitar player for this particular project. So I auditioned and they accepted my audition. And this is when Ronnie started, his wife, Joy, was helping him with this. And then she unfortunately passed with cancer a couple of years ago. And it was heartbreaking, but her last, you know, one of her last wishes was to release this record. And so after, you know, him going through that and us finally getting it, this record had started back in, I think I joined in like 2014 or 2015. And this record, we've been working on it since 2016. Dates could be wrong, but it's been a while because he went through that. So everything just kind of stopped. And we kind of occasionally, when she was feeling better, we'd kind of come back and kind of throw some things together, edit some things. But throughout his really their journey, you know, this is finally coming to a spot where we can release this and finally put this record out there. So that's really exciting. But yes, that's how I came. I auditioned. They liked my playing. They said, great job, you're in. And, you know, I was the youngest member of that group.
What was the audition process like for people who might be curious like myself?
Oh, so with most auditions, it's just a video of me playing without editing anything. I just literally put music on, I take my phone or whatever device you have, and you set your volume to whatever that is so they can hear your playing over a track, and you can't edit that. You know, they want an unedited audition, so you send an unedited audition. And then, so that was that one. So I sent a video of me playing two or three tracks that of some of his old solo music. But most of the time, it's usually that, or someone's like, hey, throw a guitar solo over this. I want to see what happens. I want to see how your recording's like. Or send a video of something you used to do. If they don't have time to, you know, do it, they need someone quickly. So.
Right. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, typically, I mean, I know I've done a couple auditions for bands in the past and they usually give pretty clear directions, but, you know, it's an interesting topic. And I think it's important to just probably just important to follow the directions given by the band, right?
Yeah. If you're, it's the same with a job interview. You just go into a job. It's like, you know, I decided to change your business a little bit, so I hope that's okay. And it's okay when you get in a creative setting, but if you're auditioning for a group, you know, do what they ask. And then once you lock in, and then you can work it out with what kind of creativity you guys can work together in. So.
Yeah. What is it like being the youngest band member, working with a bunch of more seasoned, perhaps, musicians?
It's not my first time doing that. It's I've worked with several people. I was working with Viking years ago. It was, you know, Ron and the bass player Mike Gonzalez, who's in Dark Angel, and you know, it was me and the drummer, and there's Cody, the drummer of Zephaniah. We were, you know, we joined them up to help keep Viking, you know, work with Viking. And we were the youngest guys there, and then I've worked with other bands where I'm the youngest guy there. So it's actually, you learn plenty of different things from these guys, and then they, you know, you guys, everyone learns off of each other. That's why I like it.
I have a quick follow-up just on this. So can you kind of go over, like, because a lot of people probably don't know, like, okay, so when you're going to audition for a band and then you get offered, how do you kind of go through negotiations for salary or anything when you're doing it like you're doing, if you're willing to say?
Oh, yeah. So just in anything, most bands will hand you a contract. Some will just be word of mouth and an email saying this is how much we're going to take care of. And you either go yes or no, and you negotiate what you want. It's just like anything. You just go like, okay, I need to make this much off royalties. I need to make this much off this. And they're going to counter offer. And if someone's just like, you know, I don't like it when it's like, this is what you're going to make, I can't do anything more for you. I don't like that unless it's like something that, you know, it's something that's manageable. So yeah, most sign a contract, or it's just a written email back and forth. This is what's going to, it just depends. You know, if it's people I've worked with before, I'm going to just do, okay, I know you're good for it, we'll do an email. People that I haven't worked with before, we end up doing a signed contract.
So is there usually a lot of negotiation involved most of the time then, or is it usually it's a fair offer, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask?
Most of the time, the people I've worked with, it's been a fair offer. And if it's not a fair offer, you just counter offer, or you just go like, no, thank you.
Yeah, fuck off. Don't want to work with you.
you move on. And it's just, it's something that's good. You know, I have a family, and you know, I do this full time. So there's a certain level of like, I'm like, okay, you're getting a professional person that's going to show up on time. He's going to show up knowing his licks. He's going to be able to do all this for you. That's what you're paying for. And you can sell yourself like that. And once you've worked with you, you know, just that people that work with you, and they're just like, he's a great person to work with, man. He'll do this and this. And here's a story for you. People look at that. There's a lot of positive stories about you out there. It'll be better.
So I got one more follow-up on that before Aaliyah goes back. So how do you go finding the jobs? Do most people generally come to you, or do you kind of go out putting the word out, asking people if they need someone?
It's a mix of both. Fair. It just depends. You know, if I'm... it's an absolute mix of both. Because I'm asking, like, hey, Justin, check this guy. I need someone for this. Or like, hey, Justin, it's like, I can't do this gig. Can you step in for this gig? Or it's, or I go to reach people, like, hey, if you know anyone looking, let me know. Or I randomly find someone looking for something. It just, you know, it's just like anyone in the music business. It's just a little bit of luck.
Yeah.
Involved, unfortunately. It's not just like you're in. It's definitely a little bit of luck.
And then I got one more before Aaliyah takes back over. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But anyways, so because you're a freelancer, how picky do you get with the projects you take on? Like, are you like, if the price is right, is it kind of like one of those types of things where it's like, price is right, I'll do it even if I'm not totally into it? Or do you kind of have like, I want to be into it before I'll take the job kind of thing, out of curiosity?
It just depends. Sometimes it's like I hear something and I'm like, I'm not gonna enjoy this. I might price it higher because it's
Fair.
like I don't, but you know, if it's something I'm really excited about and they give me an offer that's not so great, I'll just be like, ah, well, I'm really looking forward to doing this and this and this, so I think I want to do it. It also depends on my time. Sometimes I've turned on down opportunities to have things going on, just like anything. It's fun because then I like playing in multiple things. But as a freelancer, yeah, you get to most of the time it's like, here's my flat rate, and then or they make an offer first. It all depends.
Interesting. Sorry, Leah, go ahead.
All good. No, really. So Monroe's Thunder, we've got an album coming out very soon. What can people expect from the upcoming album?
Well, it's definitely some old school heavy metal that definitely sticks out even nowadays. It's awesome working with Ronnie and David and Oliver and BJ on that album. Was a lot of fun because I got to hear songs from the beginning and become these amazing, huge like rock anthems. Just, you know, but it's the big vocals, fast guitars. And it's very catchy. There's every song on the album, it's like has a hook and you get into it. It's like I love it. And plus it's not just straightforward either, you know, or the first track on the album, The Black Watch, and it's like 7 or 8 minutes long and has this cool big epic middle section that kind of builds up. And then me and David, we and there's songs that are just full of like guitar melodies. And you know, I was able to add a bunch of cool like background guitars to kind of add to the atmosphere. So you're not just getting this like, here's two guitars, drummer, some keys, and a singer. You're getting a big orchestration of cool things. And you've added, yeah, it's just stuff. It's awesome. There's time was put into it because even though through the situation that we all Ronnie had gone through, we did take the time to make sure this was a good record too. We're just going to release something.
Although it was a really long time due to the circumstances, unfortunately.
Yeah, and sometimes that which is wrought through painful circumstances ends up being the better for it.
Oh, and you can hear it in the passion in Ronnie's voice. It's stronger than ever. You're gonna, it's just, yeah. So you can hear it. All I have to say is listen to the record, listen to the single Echoes of the Dead that's out right now. You can hear just how powerful his vocals are. He's anyway from his low range, just singing just like nice, beautiful melodies to the big, ah, you know, big old going on there. And in lots of guitar solos, and they let me do, they kind of just kind of let me go at it. And you know, I added some fun layers, especially on Echoes of the Dead. That was a fun solo.
Wanted to ask, I know we only got like 8 minutes left, but I wanted to find out, is there like a major difference between working with someone that's been around for a while, like Ronnie? Like, I mean, he was in Metal Church and Vicious Rumors now. Is there like a difference in terms of how the work when you're doing it, like in terms of professionalism, I guess? I mean, it's probably obvious, but you know, I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, working with Ronnie, it's like if he says he's going to do something, he does it, and he gets it done in a timely manner, and he gets it done pretty much right the first or second time. He's just, you see that because he's so passionate about what he does, and he's lived it, and he knows what's expected of him, I think, but he's also really amazing at what he does too, which is super helpful. He's actually on a track on my solo record too.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's just like he's just a powerhouse. He's a powerhouse.
It
Working
must
with
be
him,
in. Is that intimidating though?
oh no, it's fun. It's fun because
Cool.
you're just, hey, how about you try this out? Let's see if you do that. And he's like, ah, and you're like, oh, this is amazing. No, I like working with people that challenge me, that are just gonna challenge me out of my own box. And you know, working with him was definitely a part of that too.
Nice. So, Leo, we got about 5 minutes left, so we got to make this good.
Make it count. I do want to talk briefly about your solo project, Zik, because you came out with Dante's Inferno Part 1 last year. And you have such a all-star team of guest musicians and vocalists on that album. Can you talk about the story of how you put that album together, why you did it the way you did, with all those session musicians, and yeah, what the experience was like?
Well, I was, I was kind of in a rut when I started just writing. We were writing stuff for Zephaniah at the time, and, you know, nothing was really going on. I was kind of, you just get this writer's block, and then my partner, Trisha, you know, recommended you should do a solo album, and I've always been obsessed with mythology in general. And I was like, you know, let's do Dante's Inferno, but let's not just do the nine layers of hell like most people do. I want to get into the poetry because, you know, if you actually read the poetry, it's just like, it's beautiful. And it takes you on a journey with just reading, and not a lot of authors or poets can really do that. And so I was like, you know, I'll do this. So I got to every single canto and I'm like, you know, I'll just put a series of albums out. I'll start with this first one, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, I said there's going to be no genre gaps. I'm just going to record and record and just create what I want to create for how I feel for each song. And so I started writing songs, and I got to a point where I finished an album's worth of songs, and I was like, all right, let's record. And I've talked to people I worked with and before, and I got a bunch of people involved to, you know, sing or perform the parts, you know, called some people in the Fort Wayne Philharmonic to come record a bunch of strings. And the guys I went to college with, but I had a sax guy, he recorded all the saxophones on one of my songs. So it's very out there. If people like some weird progressive metal that has no limits, if you don't mind hearing keyboards and yeah, saxophones and trumpets and string section, it's definitely but that's how that started. And then pandemic hit and I was able to finish it and got with Metal Assault Records and we released it. It was a lot of fun.
How did you connect up with Metal Assault Records? Is that somebody that you'd worked with before?
So Andrew of Metal Assault, he worked with who was that band, Night Demon. He was their merch guy. And so I would give him shows, and when I was living up in Indiana, I'd give him shows in Fort Wayne or give him contacts, people he could work with. So I'd been to a couple shows. We talked a little bit. I had seen what he's doing with Metal Assault because it just started as an, what do you call it, just a kind of like a blog.
And right, then he built
is now. And so I was like, hey, you know, I like what you're doing. You know, you're up and coming. I think you're very passionate about what you do. I like people that are passionate. I like working with people that are passionate. And so we worked together to release this. And he was all about the ideas that I had with it. A bunch of several different artists, like people painting for every single song. He liked it. And so we released it through him. And it's been great. Been great. But that's how I started working with him.
How was the release with I think some bands don't want to consider working with a label unless it's like a big time label. So what were some of the benefits that you noticed working with more of an indie startup label versus doing it yourself?
I didn't have to handle a lot of the distribution. He had his own PR person. He had his own PR that he worked with. All I had to, you know, I did some of my own PR. I wasn't just absent, but I was a part of that. And, you know, it's nice to have someone that can take care of distribution, take care of pre-orders, and, you know, kind of, it's just, it is. It's just like, it's hard to do it all yourself. Especially, you know, there's less music into releasing an album than you'd really want to put, you know. I like to create the music and compose. I want other people to do the other thing so I can compose more music.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's about all we have time for, Curtis.
It is. I think we should probably end with a goofy question, though. Do you want to do your question that you've done before, or do you want me to do one?
I can. Do you prefer McDonald's or Wendy's?
Neither. I don't eat fast food.
Good answer. Good answer. Good answer. But if you did, which would it be?
It's if you had to, if you were forced.
Yeah. This is the only thing you got on the road. You're on the road. There's nothing else. You can't eat for another 2 days unless you eat.
No grocery stores.
No grocery stores, nothing.
Oh, man. It'd have to be the junior bacon cheeseburger from Wendy's.
Cool. That's acceptable.
Very good answer. Very acceptable.
What's the wrong answer? Wrong answer.
There's no wrong answer.
There's no wrong answer. It's just that I tend to agree with that answer. That's a good choice, you know? A good menu choice.
It is.
Well, I think McDonald's is the wrong answer. I think that's...
I'll refrain from commenting.
Okay. No problem.
So everyone listening, hopefully you learned something beneficial from this episode, and make sure you take a listen to the new Monroe's Thunder single that came out a few weeks ago, Echoes of the Dead, and stay tuned for the album coming up and listen to Zik, the Dante's Inferno part one. And thanks so much for coming on, Justin. This was a pleasure.
Thanks for having me on.
And until next time, everyone, make like a bull and throw those horns up.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.